Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and two films up for review this week, both coming-of-age stories for young teenage women. We've got Lisa Frankenstein, which is a new film from Diablo Cody, and Suncoast, which has Laura Linney and Woody Harrelson. First up is a new film called Lisa Frankenstein, and it is written by Diablo Cody and directed by Zelda Williams, who is the daughter of Robin Williams. And it's basically this tale of a sort of Frankenstein's meets Heather's mashup set in the 80s. It centers around this character called Lisa Swallows, who is played by Catherine Newton. And she's kind of initially reclusive and, you know, not super popular, maybe kind of isolated girl. She's gone through a lot of trauma. She lives with her father, played by Joe Kresh. And then her stepmother and stepsister, her stepmother's played by Carla Gugino, and her stepsister is played by Lisa Soberano. And then, of course, there's the Frankenstein part of it. And so the creature is played by Cole Sprouse, who I am not familiar with, but my understanding is that he was a Disney Channel star. I think he's one of the twins. I knew the name, but I hadn't ever seen him act. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed by, he does a lot of pantomime acting. I thought he was great as the creature in this. I also think Catherine Newton is good as the Lisa Frankenstein-esque character, but Cole Sprouse, I mean, the two of them have an excellent chemistry together, but he kind of stole the show for me in a film called Lisa Frankenstein. I also have to give a shout out to Lisa Soberano because, you know, not familiar with her. She's a Filipino actress. She plays this, like, you know, the stepsister is actually pretty sweet in this, and it's hard to pull off without becoming overly saccharine. You know, I think tonally, overall, the film is a little uneven. I really like the idea behind it. I feel like anybody who had like an emo phase in high school is really gonna love this movie. Anyone who loves, you know, a forlorn romance and all that stuff, I think will also resonate with this movie. It's also pretty violent, actually. I think it does a good job of towing the line of disgusting versus tolerable. It's only rated PG-13, but they pushed it, and not in a bad way, but, you know, it's like, oh, I'm impressed you got away with this. It's not the strongest film, but I think for me, at least, there were enough moments that I resonated with. You know, it does an excellent job of paying homage to classic 80s movies, to horror movies, to, you know, a romance and like a Pride and Prejudice, like Austin type thing. So it blends enough things together in a way that you can rely on your knowledge of tropes around these things to fill in the gaps of where maybe there are some weaknesses in the script. And I think the production design is really fun. You know, the 80s, the capturing of some very specific things is excellent. And then the movie takes some twists and turns, but I had a pretty good time at this. Go in with tempered expectations. I think that will be the key to enjoying it. I am going to give it a 3.7 out of 5. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The other film I have this week is called Suncoast, and this is also centers around a teen girl who is going through trauma and tragedy, not as supernatural as Lisa Frankenstein. It's written and directed by Laura Chin. It is based on elements of her own life. It stars Nico Parker, who, by the way, daughter of Tandy Newton, a lot of, I don't want to call them Nepo babies because they're both actually pretty talented, but a lot of Hollywood legacies in this week. So Nico Parker plays this girl called Doris. Her brother, unfortunately, has brain cancer in it. That part is accurate to the writer-director's life, and ends up in a hospice, and it happens to be the same hospice that Terry Schiavo was in. Terry Schiavo, a name I have not thought about in a very long time. Obviously the Right to Die cases took place in Florida. Suncoast is the name of the hospice. Laura Linney plays her mother. And man, the acting is what carries this movie. I mean, the story is kind of it's kind of a gimme in terms of, like, you're probably going to have a good cry out of it because the source material is just such a bummer. It's a hard one to recommend, right? Because there's these two lines, you know, there's the trauma of dealing with this dying brother. And then also this girl, similar to the Lisa Frankenstein character, just wants to, you know, fit in and be a high schooler. And or maybe, you know, I don't know if Lisa Frankenstein wants to fit in, but it's about two young women navigating their places in the world as like, you know, kind of young adult-ish. And I was speaking of monsters, not that Laura Linney's character is a monster, but, you know, it's tough because there's so much attention paid to this, you know, unwell brother by the mother character that you see how much Doris / Nico Parker's character has to sacrifice. So there's the family dynamic story, there's the, you know, dealing with grief story, and then there's the, like, coming of age story. And then to kind of kind of tie them together in an odd way is Woody Harrelson plays an activist who's outside protesting the Terri Schiavo events because there were a lot of protests about it. There's a lot of religion in this that I kind of wish we'd been able to explore this story without bringing in. She goes to like a religious school, and maybe this is just because this is something I don't have a background in, but it's a hard topic to tackle. I think the introduction of Harrelson's character like is a little more tactful than the way that it is done in the school, but it also feels like weird because he's this fully grown man who like develops his friendship with this teenage girl, and I'm just like, danger. That's the first thing. Spoilers, but not, you know, that's not the case there. But I'm still like, this is an odd pairing and kind of disconcerting, just in life, not necessarily in the constraints of the movie. But, you know, they have their own friendship, and Woody Harrelson's character has gone through stuff. So anyway, this is all a long-winded way of saying this is a sad movie. At the end of the day, I think if you're looking for like a guaranteed cry just because of the topic it's covering, here you go. I don't know if the film itself earns every tier. I think the acting is, you know, everyone gets kind of a capital A acting scene to their credit, and I think those are really well done just because I think all the actors are really good. But, you know, by the same token, I'm like, if this had been in the hands of less talented folks, you would have been like, this is so cheesy and over the top and bad. So to its credit, I say this is a compliment. It's not meant to be a backhanded compliment. It's meant to be a straight up compliment. But it's a tough one to recommend because I'm like, hey, do you want to watch a movie about people dying? Well, have I got a film for you. But if you are emotionally, you know, in a place where this would be satisfying to you, or you want some sort of a release, I think this is a valid option for you. I'm going to give it a 3.6 out of 5. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.